I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Food for Thought, a podcast gabfest written a multiracial mix of queer writers gather around the table to talk about sex, identity, what we like to read, and who we like to read. Food for Thought. We are stretched thinner than Joe's foreskin right now.
Why didn't you just read the horrible thing that I wrote for you?
You know what? That was better. Teams' was better.
I actually have kind of a thick foreskin, I have to say.
No! And then that's going to make Joe talk about his fucking dick, which
I'm
is the zone
sorry.
That we don't want to be in. That's not
I'm
where we want to be.
I'm sorry about that.
No.
Listen, thotties, I just wanted to tell y'all, we love you. We are, like, the thoughts right now, we are scattered to the winds, mm-hmm. but we still wanted to check in with you. We wanted to make sure that we were, you know, addressing the fans. And so we thought maybe we could do a couple of mailbag episodes while the hoes reassemble.
Yes. Mailbag being essentially penning for your thoughts, right?
We are so excited to give you horrible advice.
I know. I can't wait. And we have we got audio advice requests this time. So it's not us reading your DMs. It's actual audio of you thotties asking us thotties for terrible advice. So
and we had a specific request for more Alex mom content. And so Alex will be joining us this entire episode. It's Alex, me, and Teebs. We're here to be disgusting for you.
Yes,
Alex's microphone. She's the only one, obviously, she's producer Alex with a professional microphone. And it looks like a combination of a mushroom and a penis. It looks like it has thicker foreskin than I do.
Okay, the thing on the top in the industry, it's called a dead cat. So
a
it actually
cat?
Looks
no.
like a dead cat. Yeah.
No, that's so sad.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to spend the rest of the episode thinking about my pets dying.
I know. You know it's hard for me to say that.
How about we just do a little roll call? I'm Let's Tommy Teebs Pico. I'm a fucking
what are
scientist,
you,
nonfiction writer. actually, I'm a poet and a TV writer, and now I'm an actor. I made my debut.
Ow!
Yes.
I'm Joseph Osmondson, scientist, nonfiction writer, and sentient subtweet. I have come to life.
You
I'm just walking
do
around.
You love subtweeting. You love subtweeting.
I love subtweeting.
And then deleting tweets.
I love being subtwat also. You know?
Yeah.
That was a little too far.
Are you really living if you haven't been subtwat today?
I
would prefer not to either. I'm Alexandra De Palma. I'm producer Alex, podcast producer, teacher. And for the past like 3 months, I've been having nonstop sex dreams about Tony Soprano. And I can't stop. Like, I don't. It's from watching the show so much, but like every sex dream I have is like with Tony Soprano in it. Like, and
would never in a million years have thought that that's where that was going.
I feel like there's some weird Freudian stuff with the Italian heritage side of your family. You know what I mean?
You always want to take it there. You always want to take it there. Whatever you do, you always just try and take it there. But I don't think that's it. I think it's like, because also when I was watching Mad Men nonstop, I was having sex dreams about Don Draper nonstop too.
I was too.
Have y'all
I totally
sex
was.
Dreams in COVID been crazy? Like mine have been really like exceptionally weird, I find.
Vivid. So you're vivid. Saying a word that I don't understand anymore. Sex?
Listen, that's probably why we're dreaming about it so fucking much.
So
listen.
I haven't even been having sex dreams.
Wow.
I definitely have. I mean, I think a part of it has to do with, I mean, you know, like it's that Fiona Apple song, Sleep to Dream.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't go to
I
sleep to
song.
Dream. Because she goes to sleep to sleep. She don't go to sleep to dream. I go to sleep to dream because I have not been with somebody in a while. And I'm also like, proximity makes me nervous now in a way that it didn't before.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried going to the movies. I mean, I've been to the movies a few times. I went, but like, I like the Alamo in downtown LA because they do buffer seating and like you have to show your vaccine card and all this other kind of stuff. So I went to a theater at the Grove Mall and it was just completely sold out and people were sitting there and no masks on. I was like, this is a super spreader event. Really? I can't do this.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm going to go to the theater for the first time next week to see Dune for the first time like since COVID.
I went to see Bond for the first time since COVID.
Oh my God, really?
My partner's obsessed with Bond. It was, I mean, the movie was awesome. You know, if you can like, if you can shut off your like critical theory brain for 2 seconds, the movie was very cool. But also it was really stressful because it was a sold out theater opening weekend. And then people do that thing like they do in the airport where like you're supposed to have your mask on unless you're snacking, but they like pretend to snack all the time. And it's like, bitch, you're just holding popcorn. You are not snacking. You're just holding a popcorn. Put on your fucking mask.
Was it buffer seating or were people just sitting next?
100% sold out. And then, like, the only good thing was that it was an IMAX theater, so you felt like there was a lot of air around, you know what I mean? It wasn't, like, a small room. It was a really big room. But it was still, like, you know, I think because I'm an American and, like, paranoid, I'm, like, I still, every time I go to the movies, like, at least one time we'll be like, what's going to happen if a shooter comes in with a gun, right? So I have, like, the mass shooting hysteria. And now, in addition to that, I have, like, the COVID hysteria of, like, picturing viruses floating around and going in my mouth, like, in that fucking movie Outbreak.
Yeah.
I'm a hoot.
You know, my stoner ass is in so high in the movie theater worrying about the shooter. Like, there have been so many situations where I'm just like, I'm looking back. I'm like, this person's acting weird. And it's a lot. Actually, after all of this, like, maybe I'm not going to go to the theater next week.
I liked Bond, too. Okay. Yeah, I got to say, it's because Lashana Lynch plays 007. And once I knew it was her, I was like, like, I'm here for 007 being a black woman.
She is so cool and so hot and so her acting. Ugh, it's masterclass.
I also really liked the set piece in Cuba with what's her name, Ana de Armas. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really fun. It was a long ass movie though.
She was great as well. Yeah. Definitely pee before it starts.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyway, I think I have the menu. This week. Basically, we're going to troll Alex by playing a game of swipe right, swipe left to find out what she really thinks about things.
Okay.
We're going to answer your questions with bad advice. And in the end, we get a little bubbly.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Buck, 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 be cuck. I am feeling a little peckish, so let's start the top of the show the way any good top should, with a little tease, our uproarious appetizer segment, Amuse Bouche. And why don't you just do it, Joe?
Yeah, obviously, we're trolling producer Alex with a swipe game today.
Okay.
So, you know, y'all know the rules, you know how this works. I'm going to list a bunch of things or cultural objects or whatever, and then swipe left means we hate it, swipe left right means we love it. Is everyone ready to start?
I'm scared. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really scared.
We're going to start easy. The first thing we're going to start with is dessert.
I swipe left.
Me too. I hate dessert.
I don't hate it. I'm just like not. I used to have such a sweet tooth when
me
I was
too.
Younger, and I've kind of like aged out of it.
Yeah,
that's me too. And it's like if you had told me when I was a kid that I could eat as many candy bars as I wanted, and the answer is I eat no candy bars, I would have been like, no, that's not
right.
me.
I mean, famously, I used to go to the movies because I was so concerned about the possibility of diabetes that I made it so that I could only eat candy when I went to the movies. But then, like, I just stopped buying candy, and then I stopped eating. It's just like once I removed that thing, I had like isolated it to a particular incident, and then I ended that. And I was like, you know what? I just don't have a sweet tooth anymore. I don't have this like desire to consume endlessly, which is how candy always felt to me as a younger person.
Yeah, I agree. I could 100% swipe left. I could totally live without dessert for sure.
I am a savory snack, but though I have night cheese. I have a little piece of cheddar and I slice really nice cheddar or like a good Gruyere, and I eat that at midnight and have a little glass of wine and watch my 30 Rock.
Okay, that sounds nice. I do like a chocolate chip cookie, or here in Mexico, there's like Pan de Muerto in October, which is fucking good, but it's not like super sweet. It's kind of just like a little bit of a like sweet piece of bread or ice cream, but not like, you know what I mean? Not like religiously. So I would say swipe left.
I had a little bit of cake. Andrea's birthday, we went out to this nice restaurant in the Arts District, and I could only have a little pot, like a tiny end of it, and I was like, I'm actually done.
I'm good.
Tiny body, this is all I can have.
Swipe right, swipe left on the kidney discourse. The kidney discourse.
Swipe left. Nobody comes out of that looking good.
No. Yeah, I swipe all the way left because I think I actually texted the group chat immediately after reading it. And like after reading it, I was fucking pissed. I was just like, I just read this for 30 minutes. And it's just like, it's just pure gossip. I know that there are larger things at play. You know what I mean? Like, especially in the writer community, there's like commentary to be made, but like at the end of the day, it's just fucking bullshit gossip about two people who I don't know. And so I'm like, it felt like a huge waste of time, you know?
I have a lot of lawyer friends, obviously didn't go to law school, but I love like the intricacies of the law and how it's dealt with. And so I always find that really interesting. And as a writer, I think about that a lot, like how much of, you know, how much can I take a little piece of someone else's writing and it's like a wink or a nod or an homage to them? Mm-hmm. And how much of it is like fair use where I can use someone else's text in mine? And I'm doing commentary. And then like, you know, in this case, someone took someone else's work and said that they didn't argue fair. It's just like, I'm fascinated by the legal gray zone. It's essentially a legal gray zone where there's no established law on what you can borrow from someone else if you're doing satire, if you're doing commentary, blah, blah, blah. So I'm always just kind of, I find the legal side of it really fascinating. I found the personal side of it horrifying on all sides, but it was like watching a car crash that I couldn't look away from.
Yeah.
I want it to be adapted and then I want to play one of the famous writers in the group chat.
That would be amazing. I mean, we were also talking about this before we started recording, but like the idea of your group chat being subpoenaed is the most horrifying thing I can even imagine. Because that's the thing, Joe, you were kind of being like, you know, this person was really fucked up, this person, like, and at the end of the day, also, it's like, what you say on the group chat, I mean, does it make I don't know, you know?
Unless you're giving your friend legal advice that is bad, and they end up getting sued because they took your advice.
Well, that's true. That part's true.
Swipe right, swipe left, butt stuff, Alex.
Swipe right. Do you think anyone's going to swipe left on butt stuff on the Food for Thought podcast? No, come on.
I swipe left all the way left. I'm so over butt stuff. I mean, it's just like, I get it.
No,
whatever.
You're not. Are you serious?
I'm just like, whatever.
I know. You Teebs is a frottage. Teebs
is always
frottage.
Up the little frot. Yeah.
I want to make out, though.
Definitely want to make out.
I don't think I want to make out with your butt.
When you think about COVID, the mouth is the viral incubator. The butt is safe. Mm-hmm. Lick the butt all you want, thotties.
Mm-hmm. So,
ew.
Swipe right.
The look on Teebs' face is not great. Swipe right, swipe left, Squid Game.
Oh, swipe all the way right.
I actually haven't seen it.
Are you
serious? Gosh, Teebs is actually behind on a cultural object?
I don't know when people get the time. Like, It's like, okay, I feel a certain responsibility to keep current on television because I'm a television writer, but I don't know how people who are television writers find the time to watch television because I'm like spending so much time on the show and it's like, when do I have the time to watch TV? Yeah. And when I do, it's like, the only new thing I've consumed was Only Murders in the Building and I'm obsessed with that show.
I love it. I love it so much. It's Steve Martin, Martin Short and Selena Gomez. And also, it's a total parody of true crime podcasts.
Oh, okay. Is it a comedy?
Yeah.
It's a dramedy, yeah. It's a comedy, yeah.
Okay. And it has
Tina Fey playing an unscrupulous true crime podcaster who sells her podcast company for like $30 million and profits off of everybody
else's
murder.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's very good. It's very good.
Wow, I guess I have one unplugged. I swipe all the way right on Squid Game mainly because when I'm watching a TV show, it's very, very important to me that overall the cast is extremely hot. Like for instance, like The Crown. Like I cannot watch The Crown because nobody on there is hot. And like in a lot, like in a, it's not the same for movies as much for TV shows. I don't know why. I really don't know why. But like that's like a big criteria for me. And everyone in Squid Game is hot as fuck. Like every single person in that show is gorgeous. And so that's one thing. But it's also like a really, I thought it was a really interesting show. You know what I mean? Like apart from people being hot, it was really bingeable.
Alex, the first half of that was a really good Fran impression.
Halfway through, I kind of felt myself. I was like, this is such a Fran thing to say, but like, it's actually true in my case. So I guess I am just filling in for Fran right now.
swipe right, swipe left on Timothée Chalamet as the young Willy Wanker.
Swipe right. Swipe right.
Really?
He looks good. He looked good in that photo. I thought he looked so cute.
Alex, I was
anti-Timothée for a while, but now I don't know. I've fallen victim to his charms. I think he's really cute. So I stan. And he looked good in that outfit. He's Jeeves. Also a really good actor, you guys.
He's fine.
I'm torn. I really adore Gene Wilder. So like I'm not convinced, but I am really looking forward to Dune. So
me too.
I am also really looking forward to Dune.
Yeah.
Swipe right, swipe left on your current mental health.
Oh God.
Just the sighs.
I mean, I'm swiping left. I'm definitely swiping left.
I'm so horribly depressed.
Yeah.
But I want to swipe right on it. This is an aspirational right.
Yeah. I'm swiping right.
On future mental health?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Definitely not that.
Jesus, was so unconvincing.
I'm swiping right on my current mental health because it is what it is and I'm doing the best I can.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? When you think of it that way, we're like surviving, you know?
Yeah.
We're fine. We're all fine.
I would definitely not say I'm thriving, but I'm here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say
thriving. Yeah, I've been really having a hard time like getting motivated in every sense. You know what I mean? Not just work, but like being social, doing like, you know, I don't know. Motivation
oh my God,
is
so
really
true.
Lacking in my life. And so that's been a little hard. But
I think because I've been so overworked, I have no energy to be social at all. I'm like leaving the house. No, thank you, please.
Yeah.
Swipe right, swipe left on Roberto, a soup.
I see you trolling me. Well, swipe right because Roberto the soup is what I make a big pot of Roberto the soup weekly. Every Sunday I make a big pot and then eat it for dinner every single night for the rest of the week. So, and Joe and I text about our progress on our Roberto every single week as well.
Have you had Roberto a soup, Teebs?
I was never included in the Roberto discourse, so quite frankly, I don't enjoy being invited right now.
You opted out. You opted out.
There was a Roberto discourse. That's why the recipe got published in the New Yorker. So it's a recipe that originally went viral, I think, on the Instagrams. It's a really easy to make soup that combines spicy Italian sausage, white bean, and kale, and Parmigiano Reggiano and a little lemon if you want it. It is like super easy to make, really fast, super hearty, really delicious.
Excellent.
Definitely swipe right on Roberto a soup. Highly recommend. And it's great leftover, as Alex is saying.
Yeah.
Toast up some bread, heat it up in the microwave.
Yeah.
Oh, freeze it. Oh. And you can use your homemade stock. It's
Here's why it's fucked. Because this happened after I left New York. So I didn't get to participate with Joe and Alex's Roberto moment because I was on the West Coast being miserable like a bitch. So swipe left.
I will say if you use fire roasted tomatoes, if you put the can of tomatoes, if you use fire roasted, it gives it a little. I don't always want it, but I do want it sometimes. So
good
thoughts,
tip.
You know, hit us up with your Roberto pictures on Twitter.
I have one more tip.
We want to see them.
I have one more tip. I just did it on my like 100th batch last week, which was boiling a cheese rind in it.
If you have a parm
necessary.
Rind,
yeah.
The parm
I use the pecorino rind, but
it's
fucking amazing. It changed everything.
It's great with any like hard Italian style cheese, pecorino, parm. All right, last
Next
up.
Next time
last
I see
up.
You, I'm going to make it, Teebs. Okay, last up.
Last up, Reservation Dogs, the TV show.
Swipe right, swipe right.
Swipe right, swipe right, swipe right.
So
I haven't heard of it.
I don't know.
What is it on? What is it?
It's a singer. It's a singer.
Oh, okay.
Teams.
One of those Billie Eilish people. Okay. Yeah.
I do have to say we're gonna do a whole episode with Teebs on Reservation Dogs just to talk to him about the process and what he thinks about it and go through some of the episodes. But I actually saved the last episode for several weeks because I just didn't want it to be over and I just watched the last episode. I texted Teebs like maybe last week and it was just. I had such high expectations because I knew Teebs was working on it, and then it blew all of my expectations away.
I completely agree.
If you haven't watched Reservation Dogs on FX, you must.
Yes.
Certified fresh, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. Wow.
Thanks for listening. Mwah!
Mwah.
It's time we get to the meat of our discussion, the thought process, spelled T-H-O-T.
T-H-O-T.
And this week, our thought process, you know, there's some coin purses out. It's time for Penny for Your Thoughts. our advice segment that you definitely shouldn't take to heart. That's mm-hmm. what I'll say about what mm-hmm. we're about to say.
Yes. Yes. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, we have some new technology happening where thotties can submit voice notes so that we can respond to them directly. And I've listened through them before, but I'm playing them right now for Teebs and Joe for the first time. So we're all just going to be responding live. And just go on our Twitter and IG, and you can submit one as well.
We're going to be even less prepared than exactly. we normally are. Because exactly. we've not yet read the questions.
All right. You guys ready?
Yes.
Okay.
Hey there, thoughts. Alex calling from Canada here. First time, long time, and all that jazz. My penny for your thoughts is, how do you convince a friend that their upcoming marriage is a terrible idea? I have a friend who has been in an online relationship with a guy for less than a year. And during the global panini, they have only been able to spend about 2 months, maybe less, actually physically in each other's company. And they are planning to get married this December. There's a whole bunch of red flags from his end that I'm not going to get into. But I think the thing that stood out for me from her end is that she's not even all that interested in telling anyone about this relationship. There's maybe 5 people in her friend group who know. And when I asked why she didn't want to tell anybody else, she just said that it was awkward. And when I probed a bit further and suggested that they might want to celebrate her, she just said, oh, right, I guess this is the kind of thing people like to celebrate, which, you know, really inspires a lot of confidence in the joy and happiness that's coming from this relationship. Anyway, people always say, oh, I want to be told if, you know, you don't like him or if this seems like a bad idea. But is that actually true? Do you think it's more important that those of us who know offer her a network of support or are brutally honest with her about the fact that this really does feel like a terrible idea and that we are still here for her, though? Would love your thoughts. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, my. First of all, Alex, genius producer. That was wild and so fun. This person has an amazing voice.
I know. I love them. Yeah. Wow. Alex from Canada. Thank you. I mean, I also picked this for us because I wanted to discuss it because you guys know, you've heard me talk about, I have like a best friend who I love so, so much, who's in a relationship with somebody who I despise and who I know this relationship is a terrible idea. And so like, I had been asking you guys about like, should I tell my friend? Like, what should I do? And I went really back and forth for a really long time. And Joe, you gave me really good advice as the friend in the situation. Like, the most important thing is letting the friend know that you're going to be there for them no matter what, and trying to do it very, as non-judgmentally as possible. But like, having said all of this, I did consulted you guys, like built, like got myself together to my non-confrontational ass to like pull my friend aside and be like, your relationship is trash. And the person you're dating is trash. And like, I just wanted to let you know, like, I love you. You know what I mean? I said it, I didn't say
how
it exactly
that go,
like that,
Alex?
But
how
that's
did it
the
go?
Whole, that's the whole reason of me bringing it up is like, it went, he was literally just like, his is a queer relationship. He's a gay man. He was just like, well, thank you so much for letting me know. But like, I disagree. Like, I disagree. Like, I think that he's great and I love him.
I don't think you can. Okay, I'm of two minds because on the one hand, telling your friend that their partner is trash, even if they are, could potentially cause a rift between you and your friend.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't think you can convince somebody of that fact. Either mm-hmm. they know it and they're not addressing it, or they really don't know it. Mm-hmm. I tend to think it's the former most of the time. But like, people in dynamics, unhealthy dynamics, can also can have their blind spots about mm-hmm. a person mm-hmm. And not understand maybe the origin of a conflict and not understand here's the good thing. You can get a divorce. So
yeah, that's right. Even a marriage isn't, you know, isn't the end of the end. It's not the be all end all. It's like it might. And also it could be a mistake, but people make mistakes all the motherfucking time. People are, and not just in relationships, in every aspect of their lives. And, you know, unless that mistake is harming you as a friend, mm-hmm. it's sort of really hard, but you kind of, it's really hard to prevent someone from making a decision that you wouldn't make just because you wouldn't make it. It's yeah. ultimately their decision. And I've yeah. been the friend in the bad relationship. Mm-hmm. And this is what I was talking about with the thoughty is when I was talking to Alex, is that my friend Whitney, friend of the show, literally was just like, I came to her for advice. I was like, what do you think of this person mm-hmm. and our dynamic? And she was just like, you know what? It doesn't matter what I think. And, you know, I don't necessarily love it for you. I see you upset mm-hmm. about what's happening pretty often, but you're going to keep doing this relationship until you don't want to anymore. Mm-hmm. And when and if that comes, I'll be here for you. Mm-hmm. And it just like, it took the pressure. It made it all feel like I was amping up in my mind. What a big deal. How important every little one of the decisions that I was making was. Yeah. It just like turned the volume down in my brain. Like yeah. it's going to be fine no matter what. You know, I think the scary thing in this case is the marriage. Mm-hmm. And people get married for a lot of different reasons. And I try really hard not to be judgmental about a reason that anyone would get married. And also not to view marriage as like the end point of all relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, some people get married to fuck with the things that abusive borders do to people moving around the world. And some people get married for, you know, financial reasons. And some people get married because that's the type of relationship they want. Mm-hmm. So I would maybe probe your friend about what marriage means to them, you know, because it is fast. And so I wouldn't even specifically talk about the relationship, but like, what does this marriage, what is this decision, what does it even mean to you? It doesn't seem like this person quite knows.
I wonder who proposed, you yeah. know what I mean? Right. Like, whose idea was this?
That's true, too. Mm-hmm.
I also don't think it's wrong to have the conversation. It is risk. As Teeb says, it could be a rift between you and your friend. But mm-hmm. It also might help solidify some thinking that your friend has about their relationship. Right. It might sort of call to attention things they didn't notice before or are afraid to admit. Right. And so it might make a safe space for them to talk to you, maybe even later, yeah. about the things. So I wouldn't do it the way Alex did it, where she's like, your partner is trash.
Well, I have to also interject. In my situation, it was like actually abusive. It was like abusive. Oh, do you yeah. know what I mean? Yep. So it wasn't like you're different. Just trash. It's like you are dating a partner who's abusive. I don't know if you see that yep. or not. But anyway, yes.
But I think, you know, having that conversation, even if it doesn't go well in that moment, yeah. might help that person in the long run.
Yeah.
You I know, just think I would come to it from a place of curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, for sure. 100%. And ask like, you know, why now? You know, you can actually do this later too. And are there reasons that like, that just having a relationship are unsatisfying? Because they're probably not. I can't imagine. I don't know what a marriage would bring to this that you being together doesn't. And you've only been, you know, physically proximate for 2 months. Like it might be a little quick to be making it's a big decision, both like, you know, in terms of tying your finances to somebody else and not just your totally. Life. And it can be an expensive one if you want to get out of it.
Exactly.
So, you know, you could wait too. Yeah.
I love that advice coming at it from a place of curiosity, you know, asking questions. I think that's
asking
good.
Lots of questions. And yeah. then just always the knowledge, like we got you no matter mm-hmm. what you decide to do, you know?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm a queer millennial who's really resonated with how you guys have talked about how the world is on fire and becoming increasingly uninhabitable because of capitalism and white supremacy. And I've really resonated with how you all have talked, you know, some of you have spoken about your ideas about parenthood and whether or not you want to have children or raise children in some capacity. And I'm now thinking about that. So I'm looking for your bad thoughty advice on whether or not I should have a baby eventually, maybe someday, because I'm thinking about it. Mostly I just keep looking at really cute babies on TikTok and I think it's poisoning my brain. Okay, thank you.
That is not the thoughty advice that I thought I was going to come no. after. Do you have any thoughty advice on?
I'm becoming a parent.
I wouldn't, but that's just me. I can answer that question definitively. No, I would resent anything that relied on me for survival. I would just do that. It's never been a goal for me. And, you know, as queer people, as a queer man, I would have to try really hard.
Yeah.
It's not something that's going to happen to me accidentally.
Yeah.
So like, it, you know, I'm coming into it from a different perspective, but I have a lot of friends who are having their first children. I mean, mm-hmm. I have a lot of cousins who are having their fifth or sixth, but I have a lot of friends who, you know, and it's like babies are a part of my life now because.
Are you Uncle Teebs?
Oh.
Well, I mean, to a certain capacity, not all of them. Like some of them I've only just met recently, or some of them I met when they were very little, and over the pandemic, they've, you know, developed vocabularies. And I'm just like watching this thing, this person rather, like evolve in real time. And it seems like a really big, profound experience for my friends who wanted that. And it's like, you just have to, I can't answer that question for another person because I'm not susceptible to baby fever. It doesn't rub off on me. I see it and I'm like, oh, that's so cute. And that's a great journey for you.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Joe is the one that got me really thinking. Like, well, for weird timing context, I literally just texted my doctor yesterday to inquire about freezing my eggs.
Ooh.
Because, well, Joe, this is also, you're the one who told, you were like, bitch, you're 34. Freeze your fucking eggs. You're old. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, it's one of those things I think.
To defend myself so yeah. I do not get canceled, I did not put it in those
No,
words.
He didn't. I'm sorry. Joe didn't say it like that. He was actually really, really sweet about it and was like, this is, because I think for me, in a lot of ways, it was just like, something I'm just going to worry about down the line. You know what I mean? Like I'm interested in it, but it's something that like, you know, obviously I'm not going to think of that right now. And then it becomes the time when you have to think about it. And Joe very sweetly, gently reminded me that it would be a good time to do it now. You know what I mean? And like, but having said that, the things that Joe has said on the podcast about like the fact that, you know, as the caller mentioned, the world is burning and the world is shit. And like everything is only going to be getting exponentially worse. Like, definitely has occurred to me in that discussion. Like ultimately though, for me, Joe's a scientist. Like obviously the world is going to continue getting shittier and climate change is going to be even worse. We know that. Those are facts. But like, I don't know what the future is going to look like well enough to say I don't want to have a baby. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to bring a baby into the world. Like, I think that it's probably true that their life is going to be, like, shittier than ours in a lot of ways and that the world is going to be overall shittier. But, like, I just don't know what it's going to look like enough to not make that decision.
And I don't think that, like, even as we discussed this, up until this year, I was not in a place financially that I could bring another life into this world.
Yeah.
There was just no way I was going to be a fucking touring performer.
Yeah, right.
With a child. Yeah. And before that, I was living with like four other people and all of their significant others and all of their dogs. Mm-hmm. Like that wouldn't have been the place to bring a child into the world neither, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a degree of like financial stability that is largely unattainable for our generation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's really, this is a really hard question for me. I wanted to be a parent ever since I was little. Like, I had dreams of being pregnant in my little cis boy body, which I have come to understand is not that typical. And I've always been very maternal. And in the situation where I was thinking about co-parenting, it was with two cis women, and they kept saying time and time again, like, I was the mom. Like, they both were like, you, of the three of us, you are the maternal one, you are the caregiver, and you are 100% the mom. I have been really, really struggling with the question of climate change and bringing youth into the world. And where I came down is that I don't want to make biological babies. I just don't want to add a human being to the planet, because I do think that the world is going to get worse. And I actually kind of resent being alive. And like, I know that sounds glib, but like, I mean it very earnestly. Like, given the choice between being alive and not having ever existed, I might have preferred the latter. But I have always wanted to adopt. As Teebs mentions, it's really, really expensive to adopt a baby. And so I don't know whether I'm ever going to be in the place to do it or not. And then in this situation where I was thinking about actually having a biological baby, it was because a couple came to me and they were going to have a bio baby anyway. And the question was just whether I wanted to be the bio father of the bio baby they were having and co-parent with them. And in that case, I was like, well, they're having a bio baby anyway. Sure. You know, it sort of took away the feeling that I have about making a baby who wouldn't otherwise exist. So, for me, there's both the intense longing to parent. And obviously, you know, the most traditional way to parent is to make a human form. And I'm pretty convinced right now that I don't want to do that. I don't want to add a baby to the world. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's like, what else might parenting look like, you know? Yeah. And if Alex wants, I have 12 cc's of Osmondson.
Listen.
Frozen down. Oh, if anyone, listeners, get into it, you know?
Hello, thoughts. One dilemma or question I've been pondering lately is thinking about how queer people seem to really only be able to live their most authentic lives in urban centers, and how urban spaces aren't always the best for our mental health and well-being. So what are your thoughts on queer people moving out of cities and into more rural areas, and how do we still find that queer community that we need in spaces where that might not be readily available or accessible? Thanks.
I actually know people. I have a couple of good friends who have bought really, 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 really cheap land with fixer-upper homes both of them in New Mexico. Like the whole land and plot was maybe $20,000 total. So your 20% down payment is like $5,000, and then your monthly mortgage is like $450. And with remote, they could work remotely. So they were leaving New York, or really, really seriously downsizing in New York. And then had this, like 10 acre, huge tract of land, but really in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico. And the way they did it is by making it a commune and retreat, basically. Inviting, having like a schedule and trying to have at all times at least one other person out there, both living with them for free, but then also participating in renovating the house and property, building fences, redoing bathrooms, etc. So it's like they just put in a little legwork and they get to stay in this beautiful natural area for free. And then they're back in the city. They have like maybe a small studio back here. And so they spend a few months back here and go back there. And it's really working for them. You know, I don't necessarily think any life is perfect, but it definitely itches the scratch or scratches the itch for both the community that a city can offer and then the more touch grass meditative life that rural living, I do think, can offer and really help you with the overrushed, oversaturated feeling of a city.
Yeah.
But there's the question was about living authentically and being able to do that, you know, in the burbs or in the country or whatever, in the cut somewhere. And I say, okay, well, what does living authentically mean? Like I'm in a position in my life where I feel like I've done a lot of work to be myself in any room I go into. And any Peter Pan or any Greyhound or, you know, any like jitney that I am in, regardless of like where I am. And it does in a way, like it can put you in danger, you know, like, because my voice will out me fast. Well, I mean, now I got the fashion glow up, so that says a little something about my position as well.
I don't know, carry jacket.
Yeah, if you feel in danger, just carry around a red hat and blend in. I don't know.
No.
I mean, I'm just kidding. I think what you're talking about, Joe, like if you're, so I have two sets of gay godparents. They're both older. It's like two gay men who are like 65 and live in New York City, and two gay men who are like 65, each 65 and live in like Connecticut in like a town, you know? And I notice a huge difference in like the community between those two couples, you know, like my New York gay godparents are like fucking gay as hell. Like, you know, like gay nightlife writers. Like, and I think it has to do, of course it has to do with people's personality, but like the access to queer community in New York City versus like a suburb in Connecticut is just hugely different. And like, so what you were saying, Joe, about the commune, like if you are moving out of an urban area, you have to be ultra intentional about like building your queer community.
Yep.
My girlfriend and I lived in a suburb for the 6 months during COVID for the first time in my adult life since high school. It was my first time not living in a city. And I struggled. I really fucking struggled. Yeah, and like, granted, that was during COVID. And so it was really hard to build community and blah, blah, blah. But like, it's a huge fucking difference. And like, even when you do build queer community, like the variety of people is so much less in a non-urban area. It's just there are fewer people. Yeah, and so like, not to say at all, not to say at all that it's not possible. It's just like, you really need to seek it out. Whereas like in New York or and any other urban center, I always say New York because I'm a New Yorker, but like any other urban center, like it's going to be much more automatic, I think. But like, if it's something that's important to you to not live in a city, because hell yeah, I understand the problems with mental health of living in a fucking shoebox in New York and paying $3,000. Like that's a problem. But there are other things that can be great about it. So I think it's like a trade-off.
And it's also like, there are other cities than New York. You know, and some other cities have nature more integrated into the city or more easily accessible from the city, which is one of the things I love about Los Angeles, because I can get to Griffith in 10 minutes from my friend's house where I stay at and, you know, ultimately touch grass. Like I can, I can put down my phone, go on a day long hike, really feel my body, really feel the sky, really feel the earth. You know, in New York, I made choices in COVID, that I needed to be near to green space. So, you know, I moved to an area that is more affordable, but is walkable to Prospect Park. And I'm there like almost every day. Yeah. I mean, like truly almost every day. And there are areas of the park that are feel pretty wild, right? Yeah. Feel pretty full of nature and sky and green ground. And I love going with my dog there and he gets to run. And it has transformed my mental health, even while still living, in the city. Yeah. But there are a lot of people who, with community go off and buy cheaper property in the middle of nowhere.
That's happened a lot during COVID, I think, with a lot of queer communities.
I know such queer communities in Virginia and North Carolina. Yeah. I have some friends back home in the West who have not such large communes, but, you know, a group of friends sort of get a place and maybe keep a tiny apartment in Portland or Seattle and then also have a larger home space. And again, you know, the hard part is capitalism. Not everyone has the resources to do this, right? And it's like, if you don't have the resources to be able to touch grass in your own city, your mental health is going to suffer. It's just like there's only but so much you can control, but we can control what's in our power, you know. And I think you can pool resources with friends and think about it that way, where again, it's not so nuclear and singular. Like, you're not going to move by yourself to the suburbs or to the country. Think more like what we are doing, and like, can me and my friends have a 5-year plan to like have a little bit more balance between city and country life?
And it could just be a matter, I don't, maybe you guys know better than I do, but like, because I don't know it off the top of my head, but like, doing really solid research, you know what I mean? Like, there are definitely towns that are way gayer than others. You know what I mean? Like, there are super gay towns out there. Like, I don't have the name of the towns off the top of my head, like I'm saying, but like, I think you could probably like, you know, ask around and research like places, because there are for sure non-urban areas that are super gay friendly and super gay. And so it's probably a matter of finding those too.
And talking about financial resources, I mean, and there are plenty of people who didn't have the financial resources to go to the city in the first place.
Yeah.
And they're still there and they're still in those places. And
word.
You know, but I think what Alex says is really, really hits home to me, because it is like, you have to be way more intentional. Queer life is not incidental. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
and not anywhere.
And I found it to be, I found Los Angeles to be alienating, quite frankly. And it's because it's like really difficult to get around if you don't have a car and if you don't drive. And then also it's just like, what is, I was getting a ride home from, when I got back from Vancouver. I was in Vancouver for 3 weeks and it was just such a great experience. I got back from Vancouver and I was like plopped back into Los Angeles. And I was like, oh my God, like the guy who drove me back from the airport was like, so what do you like to do in LA? And I was like, get paid? I don't know. I don't know what I like to do in LA.
Direct deposit?
Like I actually don't know what I like to do here.
Yeah.
I don't. And I'm not a driver. I'm not a hiker. I'm not a beach bum. I'm not like, I'm not like into the scene or whatever. And I was never into nightlife. Like it's just never been my tea. And so it's like, what do I like? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, New York, it's just like, I love being out.
Yeah.
I love being in the city. I love being in the streets. I love walking around. I mean, there's something about that. Like I'm not one to, I've always aspired to live in a big city coming from a very small place. And I can't imagine, and it wasn't just for the queer shit. Like, again, that was incidental. I needed a place that was as inexhaustible as I was. Because it just being in a quiet place, there's just too, I feel like I would go crazy.
Yeah. Your mouth is too loud for a quiet place, Steve.
You might say.
I mean, I think we gave pretty good advice. If I didn't say so myself.
Not so sure about
Listen, you know what? Hit us back if anything develops from our advice. But thank you for calling in. And please leave us more voice notes. It's really fun to get.
Yeah, we love this. It was so great.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like I'm full, but I could still fit one more thing inside of me. I think Joe knows how I feel.
I do. I have a plug-in right now.
So what do we got for dessert this week, y'all?
It's me. I've got dessert, and it is carbonation.
Okay.
Bubbles.
Yes. I'm drinking my Topo Chico.
Seltzer water is gay water. Mm-hmm. I hate drinking water. I actually really, really hate it. But I drink seltzer water all fucking afternoon. I have my BDS compatible home seltzer machine. I think it's called a Drinkmate or whatever.
Okay.
And I keep the water in the fridge. I just zhuzh it. It puts bubbles all through. And it just is so refreshing and light.
Okay.
It's like you have sparkling wines, you have a cava, you have a prosecco. You have champagne, you have American sparkling. There's something, it's celebratory almost, you know? It's like you take the alcohol of wine, which we love on this show officially, and then you add bubbles to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Teebs is like a personal brand salesperson for hard seltzer.
Oh God.
That's true.
Are you still on it?
Well, I mean, I can't. You'd have to put gin in it. Like, it's just
my exactly. That's the thing. But it's a good mixer.
Yeah, but I remember I did this cleanse. This like 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, and it was just like, oh, the variety of things that I could eat was so low. Mm. And I remember realizing that I could have seltzer water, and I almost cried.
Oh shit!
Because it was so restrictive, and I was just like, it was like, and I hadn't had anything but flat tap water in like a week, and like a little, like 8 ounces of coffee, maybe.
Yeah.
But then I remember just those bubbles hit.
The bubbles hit so hard, and I love my home seltzer, but I love the like black cherry seltzer. Mm-hmm. I love the like the lime cherry seltzer or lime raspberry seltzer is great.
Yeah.
The lemon seltzer, the lime seltzer. Like, I love the flavors as well. You can always get it at like a corner store in New York. It's cheap. You get the little bottle, 20 ounce. It just, it hits. And I love that like different seltzers have different carbonation levels. Like a San Pellegrino is totally different than like the Poland Spring New York style seltzer. The San Pellegrino is like a nice light bubble, and it's a little bit more like it wets your whistle a little more, whereas the other ones are a little more aggressive and like hit your nose when you open them. And it is just water, but gay.
I like thinking of it as gay water. Have you guys had Hal's? Yeah. It's like New York seltzer.
Oh, yes.
It's fucking amazing.
It's one of the classics in every corner store,
right?
It's a classic
in the corner store. And also, like you mentioned it, Ho, but Prosecco is my carbonated beverage of choice, I would say. And I think you're right. There's something festive about it. There's something that feels
good.
You pop Prosecco and it's going to be like you're going to have a nice time. I think I'm going to get some after this.
I love turning a cocktail into a Royale, which is like making like a white Negroni and then topping it off with a little sparkling wine.
Oh, okay.
Or like it's really, really good with a gimlet, a gin gimlet, you know, which is kind of a drink that has a lot of bite to it. Mm-hmm. But if you if you make it a Royale and put a little ice and top it off with a little Prosecco, for example, it kind of mellows, but it still has like, it adds a bubbliness to it. It's just, amazing. It's super delish. Definitely a gimlet with a gimlet Royale. Go for it, y'all. It is so good. It's refreshing. It's light. I love carbonated beverages.
I'm convinced. You were talking about flavors, though, and this might be a little bit of a diversion, but how do y'all feel about blood orange as a flavor?
I love one of my favorite flavors. Yes.
Yeah.
So like, when I was living abroad for a little while, I found this like blood orange soda in Paris that I was it was just like my little treat. Yeah. It was like my favorite thing ever.
Was it
like an Orangina?
No, I actually don't remember what it was called. Lauren Wilkinson showed it to me and I was like, what is this? Orangina, let us just... Okay, Orangina's great.
Lost his breath.
Everyone here, Google French Orangina ads. They are fucking weird.
Really?
They're weird as shit. They're like personified like bamboo sticks with like huge tits and they're like
what?
And they're like making out with octopuses with huge tits. It's so weird.
God.
Look at
why
YouTube,
do they make
the commercials.
It so weirdly sexy. Okay, we'll add it in the show notes.
And like I remember seeing like outside all of the like cafes and the restaurants and stuff, you know, they'd have their like sandwich boards, but it would be like they would be Orangina like sponsored sandwich boards. So it would be those weird personified animals with huge tits and bikinis.
Wow. That sounds fucking weird. I'm excited to get Prosecco and Google French Orangina commercials after this. Thank you, Ho, for such a wonderful
Orangina
dessert.
It's you literally take orange juice and you add sparkles and it makes it better. Carbonation.
This episode of Food for Thought is made possible by the generous, unequivocal support of Rosé.
Sparkling Rosé.
And our new home at Stitcher. Our producer is comfortably plopped down in the thought seat this week, Alexandra De Palma.
Yes.
Subscribe, rate, and review us 5 stars on iTunes. I'm Tommy Teebs Pico at Hey Teebs, HEYTEBS on Instagram because I deleted Twitter.
I'm Alexandra De Palma and I'm at LSD Palma on Instagram and Twitter.
Everything's got to be a drug thing with you, Alex. Listen. Everything's got to be a drug thing. I am Joseph Osmondson, scientist, nonfiction writer. You can find me at www.josephosmondson.com where you can sign up for my newsletter where I will literally only tell you exciting updates about how you can buy my book that's coming out in June.
Yay! Find us on Instagram as Gay Sluts Who Read or Gay Sluts Whore Ad, however you decide to intone that one. And join us on Facebook and Twitter at Food for Thought Pod. And finally, send your questions, thoughts, concerns, and
dick pics
to thoughts at foodforthoughtpodcast.com. As always, that's food, the number 4, and thought spelled how?
T-H-O-T.
T-H-O-T. Yeah.
We did it.
We did not do it.
We did it, Joe.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.